Okay, we'll continue where we left off yesterday. Maybe we have another word of prayer here. Lord Jesus, we humbly all come together before you. Lord, we need your word. We need you to stimulate us that we can be all the fire inside us can be all turned on again. Lord, help us. Even with most of us are still young. Lord, throw us unto you and really come to know you. Lord, you said we can seek you, and let every heart that seek you will find you. Lord, we commit this time into your hand. Lord, be with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to go through a couple of Bible verses that we read yesterday. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? We walk by faith, not by sight. We have to experience these words that is true. I mentioned yesterday, in this life, a lot of things we walk by faith. You know, you get on the plane, you walk by faith. You trust the plane will get to where you want to go. You trust the pilot that he's a good manner. Right? And another one, we turn to Hebrews. Chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. I won't read all the Bible verses that I read yesterday. The burden for this retreat that I would like to share is walk by faith. It's a must. It's not a choice. Okay. And we just read that to walk by faith pleases his heart. We talked quite a few about that walk by faith is the deeper our spiritual, is the way to deeper our spiritual matter. To be godliness, to have the brotherly love, or the true God's love. I didn't read that in Hebrews 3:12 that's saying that if we selected not to walk by faith, God said you have an evil heart. And you know in gospel, all at least three gospel talk, well two or three gospel talk about it. If you don't walk by faith, you don't know what he wants you to do. He said you are a wicked man. You are a wicked person. Bible used the word evil, wicked. But we usually don't use it on people. We think those are very bad people who have those terms. But we never realize that in the Bible, as long as you don't walk by faith, you are an evil person. And I mentioned that the reason, well, I don't ask you to answer me, but I hope you will remember why we cannot walk by faith. We have a comfortable life. Why? Everything under our control. We are being, we like to control everything in my strength or in my way that I can control it. If things are all under my control, I don't need God. I would deviate from him or I would go further. I actually depart from Him. So sometimes God allows some difficulties, set up some environment. Hopefully we will come back. But when we try to come back, we face another problem. We don't know Him. Right? We cry out for Him, but we don't know Him. And that's another problem. So to know Him, we need to have a change of heart and a change of mind, which is turned to a change of view. Okay? If we don't turn, we don't change, we don't know Him. So I talk about a few ways. I mentioned only two ways yesterday. What's the first one? Audrey, remember what's the first one? Huh? We can ask for what? Huh? Yeah. When we don't know about Him at all, ask for a sign. Lord, if this is the way that you're leading me, give me a sign that I'm right. Or you're hearing me talking to you. I quote Gideon, right? He doesn't know. The man of God come to him and say, okay, God, I've chosen you, deliver your people. Are you sure? Show me a sign. Everywhere is dry, only the wool is wet. Well, it happens. But our logic mind comes in and says, oh, this is easy, right? Now, everywhere is wet. Only the wool is dry. It's hard. And it happened. Now, he has confidence that the Lord is going to use it so he can apply the faith to God. And you will see the results. That's the first thing I mentioned yesterday. What is the second one, Daniel? Ah, rolling the boat, whatever that kutu, whatever you call that. Get you crazy, right? Get you guys all crazy out there. We forgot everything. How about Stephen? You have a good smile looking at me. Rex.
Who I am?
Who I am is the first message, not me. The famous message, not mine. Second one. When we ask the Lord, we want a result. Tell Him your desire, your wish, what you really want. Put that in your prayer to Him. So when the results come, you don't only get the results, you also get, oh, the Lord answered this way, that is my prayer, my wish. And the Lord said, okay, I granted it. Now you know God approved that wish. Or God go the other way, deny that wish. Okay, I know that is not what God wants. I learned two things in one incident. Right? We have to learn to pray. You might have made two wishes too, that's fine. You know one wish God denied. The other one got accepted, then we know what the Lord wants us to do. You know, many people want to say, well, I want to come to Minnesota, and they cannot find a job, they cannot apply school, they cannot get it. Their thoughts, their mind, their wishes. How should I put the word that it's not simple or it's not pure? It's so mixed with so many things in there. Well, God wants to show you. I can't grant you yet. Your heart is not right. Okay. Many got denial. So we have to learn with a simple heart, a pure heart to the Lord, praying that, Lord, would this be the result you want to give to me? Or that one? I put in my wish, my desire to pray. I will continue today where I left off. I want to talk about the third one. Okay, now remember, the first one is ask for a sign.
The second one, put in your wish in your prayer. Look to the Lord what He will accomplish here to show us His answer and whether my wish He approved it. The third one, study His Word. How do we know Him? There are two ways, right? I'm going to talk about the two ways. The first one, study the Word. The second one, talk to Him, right? That's a way to know a person. So the third thing is study His Word. When we study His Word, we know His temperament, His character, what He really likes, what He acts, in what way. In Hebrews 6, 11, 6, He said, you come to please Him, because we have to know what He is. That's a big word. Do you know what He is? You know, Jesus put there is to say He is. Did not lay down what He is. What? No, He did not. You can fill out the blank. He is whatever you want to fill out. He is my provider. He is my encouragement. He is my content. Okay. There are many things that you can put in here. He is my God. Everybody will say that, right? You say, He is your God? Audrey?
Yes.
Louder, please.
Yes.
Yes. And we're glad to hear that, you know? In the Bible, even Jacob said, He is my dad's God, not mine. Is He your God? Uh-oh. Right? Sometimes we say, I want to acknowledge He is my God, but wait a minute. Am I really in me? He is my God. Or He is my dad's and mom's God. Or He is someone else's God. So that's why I follow. I think that God is real. It takes some time to say He is my God. Right? It takes some time for Jacob to realize that God is his God too, not his grandfather God, Abraham, not his dad's God, Isaac, but also his God. Can we find that I can say to others before blinking out my eyes, they're telling you that He is my God. So we have to find out one thing. He is Almighty. Answer to all my questions. We have a lot of questions in our life, but He is the answer to all my questions. That's the first thing, right? Second thing, about His temperament, we have to know He's able. Alright? He has the power. Nothing impossible for God. We have to be very sure He can do anything. Right? If that's why God said, nothing is impossible for me, He can accomplish anything. The third one, He's willing. Let's turn to a Bible verse here. Luke chapter 5. This is a story, but I just want to look into a couple verses. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. There's a leper come to the Lord, and he said, and it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. 13. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. Our Lord is willing. He's waiting for us to come to Him. He's waiting. So when we want to know Him, study His Word. It's an important thing to study His Word. You know, you're still young, okay. When we are young, we always say, read the Bible, every day read the Bible, read the Bible once a year. Or, whatever, read it. Right? So, we very religiously, we read the Bible. We understand it? We don't. Okay. Do you know what we're reading it? We don't. Because we forgot right away. When we close the Bible, I forgot what I just read. Right, Daniel? But now, if we want to read the Bible, we want to know Him. Now we have to find out. He is the person that He said. A blank check. He is. Fill it out. We have to know that He is able. He has power. And the third thing here is saying that He is willing. We have to know who He is. He is Almighty, right? He is King of Kings. We have to know who He is. Then we can come to Him boldly that He will listen to us. I want to read a short note. Let's look together into a story. And you're supposed to be very clear about the story. Hannah, if I want to talk one story about David, which one you will talk about?
David and Goliath.
Ah, yeah, sadly I want to do that. Yeah. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. Yeah, everybody knows this one, right? I mean, it's a famous story with David. David and Goliath, chapter 17. Well, it's a long chapter, but I won't read the whole chapter. It's just 1 Samuel, chapter 17. We start from 26. Because you know this story so well. So I'm not going to cover everything here. I just want to read a few verses and think together. Verse 26. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the enemies of the living God?" You see that David, when he started talking, he proclaimed who God is. God has a covenant with His people, has to be circumcised. And this person is a Gentile, is uncircumcised, the first fact. Okay? David knows very clear. First fact. This is a Gentile. Second, he's shouting, defiling the Israelites, which are God's people. And we only see that are God's people. But what David saw is the army of the living God. Total different of you. Okay? David has to have a sight to see that these are the army. When I look at that, this poor army, no one dare to go out to fight. But David can have a different view. This is God's army. Okay? We need to do that. And we proclaim, God, this is your army. You will let it fail? You are able. You will let it fail? No. Verse 33. Now, David approaching King Saul. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Brother and sister, I said earlier, to walk by faith, a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of view. What Saul see?
He is a fighter, larger than John. Okay? That's another, at least, what? One third larger than you, okay? Right. In this world, not too many people you will see larger than you. But in those, that day, that's a few of those giants, okay? And Saul, look at David, boy. Handsome youth, right, Daniel? Ah, okay, he did not respond, that's good. He said, yeah, okay. Verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. So look at that. He proclaimed that again. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bears, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. That's what David knew about his God. First, he's proclaimed, God, who you are. And second, he said, the Lord has left me before. That's why we have to be faithful in small things. So when God entrusts a larger environment, our past experience will help us. But for sure, you still have a good relationship with God. Because if you, at this moment, you don't have a good relationship with God, past experience won't help. It won't help you at all. 17, chapter 17, verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. No fighter, good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come out to me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I will give you flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Look at this. These are all the common view of human mankind. Right? Man only can see all these things. Everybody see all these things. Mankind. If we don't have a different view, we can only have the view of King Saul. We can only have the view of the Philistine. But now, let's see 45. See what David said. What, you know, this giant man say, I will kill you and put your flesh outside. So the birds will just eat you. 45. Then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword and spear and a javelin. What would fight with that, right? Reasonable. But what David say? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. The third time he claimed this. First time he talked to his brothers or the people nearby him. Second time he talked to the king. It's the armies of God. The third time he talked to the enemy. You're fighting the armies of God. Whom you have defiled. Verse 46. The day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And the day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds. He's not going to kill one. The whole army is gone.
The whole camp is God. To the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now you don't do something in vain. You want to tell people around you, who you are speaking to, there is a God, a true God among us. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. We don't fight with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord. As He is fighting the battle, not me. And He will give you into our hands. This is what David. I cannot afraid of this giant person, because I know who the God I believe in. Because I know who He is. He is my God. He delivered me before. Right? A lion's big, right? Bear is big, right? I won. Now you are big too. I will still win. Because I want to know the God I believe in. It's my God. It's the true God. Verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near and met David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Right, you don't run away, right? We usually just run away. Then David put his hand in the bag. He's just a shepherd. So it's something he did every day. He reached out his hand to the bag and took out a stone. And he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. Boy, so sharp. Right? We've been doing that all the time. You don't need an arrow, right? This is a stone in a sling. Cool. Got it. So that the stone sank into his forehead. Boy, how strong is that string? Yeah, I mean, this is string. Sank in. Okay? And he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. You know, the Bible say one thing. I killed this person. I did not use sword. I just did my daily chore. Any raccoon come, shoot, one gun, right? Not the raccoon that climbed or whatever UBS tower. Minnesota suddenly gets name, you know, the whole world looking at that raccoon. David has been using what he has been daily using. And now, did a fantastic job that God entrusted. The whole Israelite army sitting there, afraid. They are greatly afraid. Why? They have only the normal human view looking at the things. But how come David has a difference? You know, this year, I share every, I mean, when my turn to share in Sunday, I just want brothers and sisters to know, we need to have a different spirit of mind. If we don't have a different spirit of mind, we don't know how to walk by faith. We can make it others, copy others, but we don't know how to walk by faith. David has a different spirit of mind. That's why he has a different view to look at what's happening. He won. He not only win over Goliath, he won the whole battle. Philistine lost. You know, I want to tell you something of my experience here. We talk about diligence, right? We talk about wishes. I have many to tell you, but I will have to select which one I want to tell you. When I got into graduate school, I have a prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, my dad and mom already paid my tuition for my all 4 years in college. Amazingly, I got into graduate school. Okay, at that time, U of M computer science department is hard to get in. and how to graduate. Somehow I graduate. I don't know why. Well, they did something change. That's why I graduate. I pray to the Lord. Lord, would I get a TA job? Oh, my friends, they all got it. Okay. My GPA is not high enough to compete with them, so they all got it. So I got in. I just remember the word, diligent. Do your part. The dean said that, I go to look, check out with the dean, and I said, do you have anything? Any professors still want a TA? He said, wow, no, not right now. Come back tomorrow. You know, I can memorize that word, come back tomorrow. Okay. 1 week passed. You know, we have a long line waiting there in the school to look for him. 30, 40 people. The second week, maybe down to 30, okay. Third week, down to 20. Because people say, forget about that. No job. Where do you turn to? Wash dishes. Okay. Deliver pizza. And I say, that won't save my tuition. No, I won't take that job. And it keep going to the 4th week. You know, it's just down to less than 20 people, but someone like me keep going. So when I was there, the 4th week, 4.5 weeks, I walk in, and this time before I really say something, the dean already say, Mr. Lee, I have to tell you that there's nothing for you this week. I think he's kind of tired now. He just think that, about done. 10 weeks of courses, 11th week is the final. That's quarter system. And already 4.5 weeks passed. I think he's kind of thinking, no more. You guys don't need to come back. I'm waiting for that. So I checked with him a little bit, and well, nothing is nothing, right? On my way out, phone rang. Well, I was polite. I did not get out. You know, I holding to the knob, and I did not get out. And a professor called. He said he needs a 25% TA. Who will ask for TA after almost half of the course, half of the quarters has passed? The Lord is testing me whether I will continue going on that. And the Lord delaying the professor to make a decision until that day. And think about that. All the people in front of me that line up there did not get the call. All the people behind me did not get the call. The whole 4.5, I'm the only one get the call. When I heard the course that is about to teach, I hate that course. Okay. But I think, wow, the Lord, are you sure? After all these things, you give a job for me? God, if you're greedy, I want a 50%, right? Tuition always. And 25%, you have to pay for 25% of the tuition. It's okay to cover it. And you know who are the teachers? They have 2 courses for this class. One is my roommate. Okay. The other one is my brother in our fellowship. And I actually work with him. And so when I told him I get a 25, he said, actually, they don't need to do anything. I will do it all. So Lord says, I did not do the first 4.5 weeks work, and I got a paycheck. Paying me all the first 4.5 weeks. I did nothing. Right? Because they have to pay for the whole quarter. But I tested one thing to me. I have to do what the Lord say in the Bible. I want to test it out. Is this real? If I come to you with a sincere heart, a pure and simple heart, Lord, will you show me? It works. That changed many things of how I follow Christ. I want to say another thing is many years now, you know, I graduated, I've been experienced more. One time we went to, I think it was 1996, before they were born. We went to Seattle, and they sent a bus to pick us up. We have 11 of us, so they have a 15-person van to pick us up. And we were driving, you know, Seattle 6-lane freeway. We are on the way from airport to the camp. Halfway through, with the sudden loud voice, boom! And there's no more power, nothing for the van. The driver, our brother, put us on the fastest lane, on the shoulder. And then no matter how he did it, it's not going to start. We don't have cell phone in those years, okay? So, and I'm the oldest one in the car, and I'm the leader in the car. So I am responsible for the whole thing now. What should I do? Okay, first thing, look for a cop. Well, somehow someone might have called a car's dead right on the freeway. So after about an hour or so, or half hour or so, couple, and waiting in the van, the cop never get out. So I went down, talked to the cop. Hey, I said, this is a dangerous road. That's why I will not get out of my car. It's such a fastest lane freeway. I said, well, our car broke down. Can you send a tow truck? Well, that is bring us. I said, no tow truck is going to tow any car in the fastest lane. Is that true? Hey, in Seattle? You haven't experienced that, huh? But I was told by the cop. I said, what should I do? And we have about 12 of us, including the driver, it's 12 of us. He said, find your way. Run over the freeway. Are you kidding me? 6-lane! He said, well, I can't help. I cannot help you. And she drove away. The cop in Seattle drove away. And we stuck in the car. And we just looked for everyone. Any sign that people go to WCCC, drive by it. Help us. Tell someone to come save us. Nobody. And now, we have been Bible study. Okay? How God is so real. God is so true. God can do anything. God is able to do it, right? We busted. Tell everybody that. Okay, this guy is able to save you from this time. I'm glad that I have a good relationship with God at that time. Okay, so I tell them, everybody except the driver. Okay, well, he joined us just straight away. He's a Christian. That's how he joined us. And we said, we all pray. Okay, so 11 of us, we pray in the car. I just pray one thing. Lord, you can do anything. Can you just let the car start one last time? Bring all of us go to the camp and let the car die forever. Let all of us in the van know that you are God. You are the true and living God. After our prayer, we ask our brother, start the car. One start, the car started. We all drove to the camp, and the van never started. You can ask those people in the van, they never forget this experience. Rona was in the car, but my wife is in the car, in the van. Nobody in the van will ever forget about this episode. The Lord can do anything as long as we apply, claiming who He is, and we can walk on. That's why I want you guys to really have to start. Okay, let's go to the fourth item. Wow. Number four is directly talking to Him. Okay. We can talk. Right? You guys shout at each other. We can talk to him. You know Brother Ding? Some of you call him Ding Ye Ye. He told us one time in China, he has to go to his neighbor village to preach. He has to walk 10 kilometers, cross a river, and then reach the meeting place. After he walked for 5 kilometers, the sky is all dark. Well, this is all bright enough. The sky is all dark. He said, "Lord, should I go or not? I have another half distance to walk to the bank of the river and get on the ferry and then get to the meeting place. Should I go or not?" He's just a simple prayer. It's a clear voice telling him, on the way that you're walking, no rain. That's it. While you're walking, no rain. Well, he is a person that always experienced our Lord. He said, "Now the Lord has told me, as long as I keep walking, no rain." So he continued on another 5 kilometers. Get on the ferry. It's all dark. Get into the meeting. When he stepped in, the rain poured down. He got a 3 hour meeting. The rain continued, never stopped. And he comes out. A brother in there said, "Oh, Brother Ding, it's raining. Give you an umbrella." Brother Ding told him that this umbrella is useless against this rain. Okay, that's first thing. Second, the Lord already told me, as long as I walk, no rain. So he just stepped out. Just like I told you guys, carrying the ark, step into the river. The river started to depart. Once he stepped out of the meeting hall, rain stopped. Get on the ferry, walk another 10 kilometers, got home, and the rain came down again. Will you ever forget? My Lord is so real to me. He is a true God. Once you experience that, never forget. Your brother Nee, one time to preach in the neighbor village, a young brother, 17 years old, they found out nobody wants to believe. Why? Because they have a God that watched over their village. And now, in such a state, the God is going to parade over the whole village. And you're supposed to be all sunshine. And the young lad say, "Okay, this year it will rain." Wow, how boldly you proclaim that. So he came back and tell Brother Lee, Brother Lee said, "It will rain." Wow, Brother Lee was scared. To us as a missionary to the village, well, if it doesn't rain that day, well, we say something wrong. But in our brother's heart, brother's knee's heart, boy, if the day of parade, no rain, the whole village will only believe in their God, will no longer turn their hearts to believe in true God. So brother went down on his knees to ask the Lord, "What should we do?" He did not rebuke this young lad, okay, saying something without thinking. He just prayed, "What should we do?" After prayer and prayer, a verse came in. "Where is the God of Elijah?" Jamie, you know what Elijah have done? Related to rain? In the Old Testament, Elijah said, "No rain. 3.5 years, no rain." And Elijah said, "Rain!" And started to rain. You have to know the Bible, right? I said you have to study the Bible. Okay? So once that thought comes in, our brother, the inside him,
okay, the Lord tell me, it will rain. Now they have seven of them. They all going out to tell the whole village, your God, your idol came out, parade, that day will rain. Oh, the whole city got crazy. Someone from outside of the village, coming here and telling us, our God, the day of our, the parade of our God will rain. Now they are talking to each other. Who is the true God? Are the God that he is proclaiming is the true God? Or the idol is the true God? Ironically, that morning, they woke up by the sunshine, you know. The sunshine woke them up. Will you still think today will rain? We don't deviate from what the Lord's telling us. So they put the food on the table. They blessed the food. They said, in the middle of their praying, they heard the rain drop. And those villagers, they still carry their idols out, and their idol fell on the floor. And, you know, now they open up the gospel for the village. So I just want you guys to know that we need to know Him. So I just mentioned four ways, right? Without knowing anything about Him, ask for the sign. We started to really want the Lord to tell me what to do. What is your temperament? What is in your heart? Give Him in your prayer, put down your wish. Lord, which one is you prefer? Okay. Which one is aligned to your heart? And the third one, study His word. Know who He is. And the fourth one, talk to Him. We will know Him. I would like you to all see this. Everything started with Him. You want to start everything from God. Because if this thing is started by God, He takes responsibility. If this thing is started by you, you take responsibility. Okay? You can say, I started it, Lord help me. No, Lord never do this. Our Lord never do it. Only if this is started by Him, He will do it. He'll claim His responsibility. So when He started, we can exercise our trust in Him. Because He will never forsake us. And He will never fail us. So, when He started, it must be His will. Right? God won't do anything. It's not His will. So if this whole thing started by Him, it's God's will. So the whole process is by His power. He's going to change people's minds. He's going to change unchangeable matter to be changeable. And as a result, bring glory to Him. That all the God you believe is a true and living God. So, brothers and sisters, don't miss any opportunity that comes to you. You're still young. There's so many things lying ahead of you. Taking courses, finding a job, going somewhere. Don't miss the opportunity to see how God will lead you. I've only half hour left. This is what, okay, now is what I want to share today. I have to shorten this, really shorten this, okay? Okay, let's turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 7. First Peter chapter 1, verse 7. that let the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I read to verse 10. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Verse 9 is the focus. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Ephesians chapter 2. So, going back to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We will just read those two passages. I mentioned that the burden for me this time is to know that walking by faith is a must. My first message is saying you want to experience more of spiritual things. Walk by faith is to open it up for you to enter the spiritual realm, to really know Him. The second one is here on First Peter verse 9. It says, walking by faith. What the exact word in here? Receiving the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. That's a consequence. If you walk by faith, your soul will be delivered. Now we want to ask, what is the soul? Hannah, what do you know? What is soul? What consists of in the soul? Stephen. No. Well, Jeff has something to talk to your crew again. The soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotion. And so, the end of the faith, the end of faith, will deliver you, deliver your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. So I want to mention three things. What would that change about in our soul? You know, the Lord Jesus says, deny yourself, bear up the cross, and follow me. So I want to just mention those three things. Deny yourself, bear up the cross, your cross, and follow me. So what is deny self? The world today is teaching us, claim your rights, right? Whoever step on your right, what's the teaching do? Sue that person, right? If not, the judge has nothing to do, right? So people keep suing each other, so they have something to do every day. Claim your rights! No. You can see the world is talking about claim your rights. The first thing, right? What's the second thing? I like to ask the first of the young kids. Daniel, what the world teach you? They don't teach you about deny yourself, right? What do they teach you?
confidence in yourself, right? What's confidence? Well, they will always tell you, Stephen, you are the best.
Right? I don't know what they compare to.
You see everybody, you are the best.
Okay.
Okay, you are the best. So you go home. I'm the best.
Why?
My teacher told me, I'm the best. Right? This is how the world is teaching us. Claim your right. Have confidence in yourself.
Rex, I'm going to tell a story that is about a sister. I don't know whether you heard about this. Your mom told me.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yes. I have your mom's permission to say it.
Okay.
Is it one night?
Is it embarrassing?
No. Huh?
Is it embarrassing or no?
Pardon me?
Is this embarrassing or no?
No. No, not really. Okay, she said that, Mom, you were a very confident person before you believed in Jesus.
Okay.
Is that right or not?
Your
sister. Talk to your mom. Mom, you're a very confident person before you accepted Christ. But since you accepted Christ, you have no confidence at all. Let me ask you, is that called deny self? Anna? Deny self means I have no confidence in myself. Huh? No? So you still have confidence in yourself. Oh. Aha. Bernice, how about the sister? No. Deny self is not no. So could you... You still have confidence in yourself. So you have no, you never deny self. Haha, tough one, right? Rex, you can continue thinking, okay? What's she telling her mom that? But recently, I found you. You have confidence again. Why? You know, I'm always just afraid to be a Christian. Because I don't want to, like you, totally no confidence. But now you draw me to want to find out why you gained the confidence again. You don't know about this, right? Aha,
right. Younger sister? What? Younger sister? Yeah, younger.
Hey, younger, younger. You know what? In the past, I have confidence all by myself. When I deny self, or I believe in our Lord, I really walk on the way. I have to undo all the confidence. Why? Because the Lord let many things happen. It's out of my control. How can I be all confident in myself anymore? But the way that I can find confidence again, because I know my Lord. I gain confidence no longer by myself, but I gain confidence because I know the Lord is with me. Because of this fact, I have confidence to move on. And your mom just somehow worked this out. And your sister is watching her. Actually, she's watching you too. The sister. Yeah, let me tell you. So, you know, I was so encouraged. You know, what made your mom change? Nobody just says, blah, 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 I keep talking and you'll change. No, I found my Lord that I can lay hold on Him. And I unconsciously got my confidence back. Because I know my Lord is always there. Not just keep crying, begging for something. I know my Lord is here. So we know what is denying self. No longer claiming what I have. But I will claim
forever what God has in me. That's God in thyself. I still can confidence brightly facing my future because my Lord is with me. So I can do diligent whatever He entrusted. The second one is bear the cross.
Father Tong always say, I ask young people, what is the cross? Jamie, what is the cross?
You it's too soft, you know. I can't hear a word. What is that?
Just say it. Just say it.
You know, he said, Father Kong said, I always ask the young people in this class, whatever I want, the Lord won't give it to me. Whatever I don't want, the God of God will give it to me. Okay, it's always whatever against my will is the cross. Okay, that's the statement. Because we're always asking something we don't need it. Bear the cross is to humble us. Lay down ourselves. In our Bible studies, Saturday morning, we talk about Jacob. He went to Peniel. And what happened? He became a cripple, a lame person. You know, the calf. Our Lord touched him. He became a lame person. You know, this is the powerful place of our whole being. So we can run, we can walk, we can do, we can fight. But once you become limp, you cannot put any strain on your leg. You're so weak. So we are talking about weakness. You meet God and you got weakening. Any one of us want to be weakening? Weakened? But John, you want to be weakening? Jury will be laughing at you. Right? Right? You're so proud of that. Ha ha, I'm stronger. I can do what can you do? And now, you suddenly you're weakened. Then, yes. Can you take it?
Oh,
kill myself. Oh, wow, don't say that. Nobody was willing to be weakened. But why the Lord weakened us? So we are not going to claim confidence in ourselves. We are not claiming I can do it. Nobody can claim. Did David claim that he can do it? No. He claimed that my Lord of hosts can do it. Through me. I'm still doing it. But the source is different. In the past, it's by me. And now, it's by him. Through me. You know what Jacob, once limp, is forever limp. No turning back. Outwardly we limp. Inward we're growing in Christ. So if you really want to grow in Christ, better be prepared. A lot of things you think is my strength, our Lord is going to take it away. If you want to grow in Christ, no other way to go. Don't think I can learn the Bible and more knowledge you can be grow spiritually. No such thing. But did the Lord take it all out? No. Because the source of the strength is now different. In the past, it's all from me. I don't need God. I can do it. But now, I have to through Him to do it. For His purpose. For His sake. You know, for Jacob, after he lived, many things happened, man. He left home. His wife, Rachel, stole all the idols of her, which Jacob doesn't know. His son killed all the people in Shechem, and he doesn't know. His son lied to him that the son you loved the most, Joseph, died. He didn't know. He was so sad. Now that's what all the things out of his control. And Jacob came to the Lord and he kept growing spiritually daily before the Lord. I want to tell you some of my experience, especially one for my kids. They were young. They may know this story, but they may not. When Samuel was 1 year old, one night, he was crying. You know, since young, very young day, he can take pain. That's just like you. We can take pain. But he cried, and we know something really wrong. Okay? In the middle of the night, over midnight, he's crying. Winter. As long as he just touched his hand, he cried. And we have no idea, you know, firstborn have no idea what happened. CJ, you better listen. Firstborn, no idea what's going on. We just pray. We don't touch him, he won't cry. But once we touch him, he cried. And we said, what happened? So we talked to each other, maybe less than one. We said, did he fall? Well, I have to work, right? I walk home and no. My wife said, I didn't see him fall. Break a bone? I didn't know. What can we do? Just call 911 or go to the hospital in the middle of the night? Well, we didn't do that. So we just pray. And we say, no. First, we have to find out what's wrong. Winter. Dress a lot. So we start to take off one clothes one at a time. Okay. And I think we take out this way won't help. But somehow we take out the clothes. We just have to see, did he hurt himself? And once we took off, almost took off the underwear, I mean the stretch underwear, and then he stopped crying. And we said, hey, no crying. Pain? No pain! And then he would say, boy, what a miracle, huh? We just keep taking off the clothes and he's okay, he's healed. And that's how we walked through that night, you know. And then after a few months, happened again. But now it's in the daytime. He's holding his hand, pain. We went to urgent care. And you know, young kids, I mean young people, young, always dislocate their arm. Okay. We didn't know. And the doctor just hit that little and buck, put it back in. Okay. So the third time, it's at home. I put it in.
Oh my God.
3 times, he dislocated the same arm. Okay. It will happen. A lot. I don't know. Maybe it won't happen to you. Okay. But this is something put me and my wife as uncontrolled. How can we do it? We don't know. The other day, we have a prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting in my house. And that night, Wednesday night, we're done with the prayer meeting. And he's suddenly crying. And I think he's still young, cannot say, tell us what happened. Just keep pointing to the ear. So he has young kids, another one. Ear infection. Okay, common one. Well, this one is only 9:30, so I call. They said, okay, is that a mild pain or a tough pain, you know, very strong pain? We say it's a strong one. It's a mild ear infection. We'll get antibiotics. A strong pain, nothing can help. It has to let it go by. I said, how long would that be? Oh, he said, it depends. Right? I said, if it's too long, what will happen? He will lose his hearing. Oh, that's all. And she hang up the phone. Because she cannot help me. So, to me, this is acute infection. Nobody in the medical field can help me on that. point. What can we do? All the brothers, well, we don't have too many of us praying still in my house. And Father Benjamin, Rachel was there. Me and my wife are holding him. And we just knelt down to pray. Lord, another situation now. The Satan may be attacking us. Okay? And attacking to our son. We claim that you are the victorious Lord. You don't allow this to happen. You gave us a son and lose his hearing right away like that. It's not what you do. One, in the middle of our prayer, he stopped praying. I think he still has a good hearing. I don't think he lose anything. Or you think you have a better one. We don't know. That is from Samuel. And now I have to talk about Gabriel. You know, this one you know already. When he was born, after a week, we went back to check up. Always check up, right? And then the doctor listened to his heart. And the doctor said, something wrong. The two words, right? Something wrong. I might say it wrong again. You know, my wife kept saying, you say, no, there's a hole in the heart. No. It's the artery did not feel right in the heart. You only need a surgery to put the artery back to the right place or something like that. So the doctor say that, listen. You say, you want to listen? I say, I don't know what to listen. Okay? Whatever you said, I'll take it. Okay? Put it back. He said, you have to see the pediatric cardiologist. We make appointment 3 days later to Abbott to see the pediatric cardiologist. When we got to the hospital, it's the first time someone took it from our hand. We said, can we join? Nope, you stay outside. And he's gone with the doctor or with the nurse. We have been praying for 3 days. Why? Why he was born with something wrong with the heart? Can we do anything? We cannot do anything. But when the doctor, that cardiologist came up and said, he's fine. What? One doctor said he's not fine. The other one said he's fine. Who should I believe? So I kept asking questions. And that doctor said, I am the pediatric cardiologist. I am telling you, he is fine. All right. We carry him. Our heart is full of happiness, but we don't know why. Someone says it's some problems. Someone says so. So the next day we went to see our pediatric doctor. And he listened. Yeah, he is fine. You want to listen? Forget it. I don't know what to listen. You know, that's what we went through. And one time we went to WCCC. She was 1 year old. This is called lack of experience. The morning is fine. So we brought a lot of medicine. We packed everything into the luggage. Okay? And the WCCC carry all your luggage somewhere else. Okay? And when we arrived in the airport in the afternoon, he started to have a fever. And all our medicine in the luggage. We got on the plane. His fever got serious. So I talked to the flight attendant. Do you have any children have fields or something, you know, ibuprofen? Oh, you have a sick child. Get off the plane. All four of us got kicked out. I said, where can I look for it? Oh, go to the inside the airport. They will have something. I walked through the airport, can't find anything. What should you do? My wife was holding Samuel. I was in which way? I forgot. One of us is holding him, one of us is carrying his hand and running around in the airport like a crazy family. Okay? And suddenly a thought came in. There's no way we can find a pharmacist here to find any. We don't have cell phone. We don't know the number. We were in LA. And so I thought came in, look for mother and little baby, a family. Once that thought came in, when I raised my head, a family walking towards us. The mother holding a small baby. We walk up to them and ask the mother, do you happen to have the liquid drop of Ethereum? She said, yes. So walk into the bathroom, wash that tube, and suck up the liquid and just put into Gabriel's mouth. He never need another drop anymore. In an hour or so, he was as happy as before. And did not get any fever when he got home. But why that happened? You know, Satan is always wanting to, God, get us. Lose your faith in him. But we have to know the Lord is always with us. We have to claim he is powerful than anyone in this world. I have to use some more time today. Okay, even I shorten my message. I wonder, is that okay? I would say some. I want to finish some more on this. The third thing. Third one is say, follow me. Our Lord Jesus on earth has been keep telling people, follow me. Follow me. He said, Peter, follow me. John, follow me. Matthew, follow me. No matter what you are doing, follow me. The Lord is saying the same thing, asking us. Follow him. There's a young ruler came to our Lord Jesus. I would like to have eternal life. What should I do? Jesus told him that commandments, you know, keep the commandments. And the young ruler said, when I was a young kid, I already kept the commandments. And Jesus said, no, give all to the poor and follow me. Boy, this is two criteria, two conditions that the young ruler cannot take. He's a rich person. How can I give it all to the poor and follow you? He stopped right there. He left with a sorrow heart. But you know another person called Zechariah. Zacchaeus. Okay. He's also a rich tax collector. But when he met Jesus, he gave half of what he had to the poor. And he said, if I have cheated anyone, unfairly deal with someone, I will repay four times. Think about it. How much money he left? Not much. Compared to the wealth that he has before. This tells us that everybody can follow Christ only if you want to deny yourself. Bear up the cross and follow him. Will you be really getting to a poor person? Not really. Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 3 we just read. He said, don't walk according to the course of this world. Paul in the Romans 12:2 saying, don't conform to this world. What is the course of this world that we pursue? We just happen to pursue it, right? What would that be? Fashion, clothing, food, gadgets, travel, jobs, money, cars, house, school. Or maybe we worship a lot of idols. A lot of things is the course of this world. And in efficiency, don't walk according to the course of this world. He said, if you follow the course of this world, you are actually following the evil spirit. He said there was the prince of the power of the air. You're following the evil spirit. In other words, you're following Satan. If you're following the course of the sword. You will become a person. Disobedience. A person of disobedience. You will not obey God. You will venture against God. You will fulfilling the desires of your flesh to satisfy yourself. You will not want to satisfy God. You just want to satisfy what you want. And what God say in there? You will become the children of wrath. You anger God for what you did. So, for this, we have to walk by faith. To fight against that we don't always fall into the trap that we follow the course of this world. What is following the course of this world? It's because we walk by sight. By what all we see and not seeing Christ. I want to sing two songs with you guys to finish my message. Pass it out
to everyone. I have printed all the songs here.
If you have a more
less, I can.
I think I still have one more.
Everybody have one? Oh, we have one more.
Okay, I want to sing the bottom one first.
If you want the words.
The bottom one is, Lord, I give myself to you.
Okay? I learned it when I was about 23, 22. Very early in my life, when I came to the United States. What it said that, Lord, I give myself wholly in your hand. Trusting you will pour your grace on you. May I be broken. Let your love through me. Willing to suffer, fit for your use. Let's try to sing it right now. Once we go through that process, we see the result. It's to glorify God. Okay, try to sing it. We know we are all musicians here, right?
Lord, I give myself wholly in your hand, trusting you will pour your grace on me.
the songs on top. I'm not my own. God owns me now from the day I accepted Christ. I sang this song with you guys, some of you guys already. Many of you haven't sang this before. So I would like to sing it with you guys. Look at the first stanza. Tell me not of earthly pleasures. Tell me not the sordid gain. Mock me not with earthly illusion. Vex me not with ornaments vain. I am weaned from sinful idols. I'm henceforth not my own. I've given my heart to Jesus. I belong to Him alone. Second verse. Oh, the blessed rest it brings us to belong to Christ alone. We can draw on all His fullness when we have nothing of our own. Blessed Jesus, take me, own me, make me, keep me, holy thine, deigning to find in me thy portion, while I joy to call thee my God. Third stanza. Weary soul, give up the struggle. Seize at length thyself to own. Give yourself away to Jesus and belong to Him alone. Once He gave His all to win thee, now He asks as much of thee. All He has, He fully gives thee. Let thy love His portion. We'll sing it, okay? Give your plate one time. I'm not my own. Okay, many of you know how to sing this. We'll start the first thing. Tell me not of earth.
Oh.
Closing here, what I, my burden to share, two things. Why so honored? Walk by faith is a must. If you want to get deeper in your spiritual life, start walking by faith. If you want to really have your soul be delivered, start walking by faith. Let us pray. Father, we just all come to you, Lord. You show us that you are the true and living God. We can all commit our life to you, and you will never fail us, and you will never forsake us. Lord, I just commit all these people, all these brothers and sisters into your hand. Lord, we know that you are coming back soon. Lord, help us to be prepared to see you. We want to go deeper in knowing you and on this path of our spiritual life. So Lord, help us, every one of us, to start, if we haven't started, on this walking by faith. Lord, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.